This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live from our Tab Computer Systems Studios here in East Hartford, Connecticut. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I'm not really sure who's on the line. We've got a system set up here between Matt and back at the home studio there in West Hartford and us in East Hartford. And maybe there is nobody on the line, 800-966-WTIC, 522. We're flying blind, Matt. We have no idea. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. As we wait for calls or Matt to respond, we'll talk about what's going on out there in the COVID world of technology. And basically, some of the stuff that's out there, as COVID-19 data sets become more accessible, novel coronavirus pandemic may be the most visualized ever. So basically, more and more of us are getting all sorts of data here, right? So we all know, we all think we're amateur epidemiologists now, as we're crunching the numbers based on the data that's coming in. And this article really kind of talks about all the great places where you can get data on COVID. Obviously, Johns Hopkins is one of them, where you can see what's going on and try to understand the risk that's out there. I mean, obviously, we've got the folks in charge who are trying to tell us what the risks are. And then, of course, we then take a look at the data and try to decide what the risks are within our own lives. And it's a very interesting article that I'll put up here for you guys. You can definitely take a look at all the great places to get this data. It's a safe, all safe places to get the data and kind of see what's going on as this data keeps coming in. Johns Hopkins is also putting the data on GitHub. So it's been one of the most, they're calling it visualized pandemic ever that we've gone through, obviously. And they're very interesting. Data from the WHO, CDC, you name it, it's all out there. Dashboards are all out there. Be careful where you're getting your data. There are a lot of bad websites being put out by the bad guys to try to trick you. And if you end up at the wrong spot there on the internet, you're going to actually become a victim. There are even stories of hackers hacking firewalls. So we advocate folks go out and get their own firewall, right, Bob?
Yes, that's correct.
However, if you configure it up as the default user login is admin and your default user password is blank or password, you're leaving your internet door wide open. And what's happening is hackers are trying to attack firewalls so that they can modify the DNS so that when you go ahead and get on the internet, it sends you to a false COVID site. And we can put the link up for the story as well. But what I'm saying is people are leveraging this crisis to try to fool you still, right? You know, people in the criminal world have no scruples, so they'll never not take advantage of a crisis.
So if you
Rob Emanuel way to operate.
So if you get your own firewall, remember to change the administrator password,
right?
And write it down and put it somewhere where you won't forget it or lose it.
Exactly. So, all right, let's get to your calls. There were folks online. So let's go right to Paul in Manchester. What's going on, Paul? Oh, Paul just dropped. Sorry, Danny. Are you around, Danny? Our resident groupie.
I'm here.
There you are. Paul dropped. Paul,
okay.
Feel free to call back in. What's going on, Danny?
I hope he bounced.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I've got some HDMI cables from our mini box to the TVs.
Yeah.
Because I'd just been using the old cable because I'm old-fashioned, and I finally thought I'd try to get a better signal.
Yeah.
Unplug both the television and the mini box first. Is there anything special to do?
Nope.
Just take the cable off and put the appropriate ends into the appropriate plugs?
That's all you got to do, Dan. It's pretty simple. So what are you doing? You're using old interfaces now? You're not using the HDMIs now?
Yeah, I just have old coax cable.
Yeah, so you're going to change that over to HDMI interfaces, is what you're
saying. Yeah, right, because we have the little mini boxes,
okay.
I finally got flat-screen TVs since the other ones died.
But you're kind of geeky for your, you know, you follow all the stuff out there. Why would you continue to pay for the mini boxes?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think there's an aftermarket or a off-market mini box that you can get.
No, so what I'm saying is you cut the cable, right? You punt the mini boxes and stream your TV through YouTube TV.
Yeah, but we only have
TV. It probably will work. How slow? You have a slow DSL, like 3 or 4megabits?
I don't know. My wife watches movies, watches Netflix and Amazon Prime on her tablet.
Oh, then you're okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and then I've got to change the source, though, right, on the menu?
Yes. From cable, from the old cable connection line in to HDMI.
Okay, all right, because it's got 1, 2, or 3, so I'll find the right one. Another thing, you know, talking about Elon Musk last week or every week, that other company, OneWeb, that was going to do the constellation of satellites, they did file for bankruptcy this week.
They did, yeah. So is there a bunch of satellites up
there
that are going to
be? They've only got 79 up. I mean,
79? That is a lot. So can we use them for target practice?
Probably. The Indians or the Russians would probably be doing that, or the Chinese. But
you think Elon would buy them up? I mean, they're already up there. Why wouldn't he just buy them up?
Because they're not compatible with his systems. You know, he's got such a different thing, and he doesn't need them. He's putting up 60 every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but okay. All right. Seems like a lot of junk up there. I don't know.
Oh, no, I agree. But he can bring his down. On command. They've already done it 5 times.
How about the guys that have gone out of business? Can they?
Well, I don't know if they were designed to come down. That's the bad part.
Jeez. Why do we let these guys chuck this stuff up there without knowing how to get them down? I hope they can come down.
You know, that I don't know. You know, did you ever see that simulation where if a couple of satellites started to collide, how it would...
Oh, it's messy.
The cascade, and then they'd be would be back in the 1800s.
Yeah, it'd be messy with all this stuff that's up there. So, yeah, it would be our own little satellite pandemic. They'd all get infected.
Stay safe, guys.
Yeah, you too, Danny. Our resident groupie, Danny. Let's go on to Margaret in West Hartford next. Hey, Margaret.
Hi. Enjoying your show.
Thanks.
I have a question about Zoom. My book club is suggesting that we all download the free app and use that. And I have a MacBook Air, and I just don't want to... Since the Apple Store's closed, I don't want to do anything bad to my MacBook.
Oh, gotcha. You won't. Zoom is a very reputable tool, and you can go ahead and you can just use a browser if you wish. So you don't actually necessarily have to download anything. Well, you will have to download the file. Sorry, you do. But if somebody invites you to a Zoom meeting, right, you actually browse to Zoom, and put in the meeting code, and Zoom will say, oh, okay, you don't have the software. It'll help you download the software, and then you can install it on your device. You have nothing to worry about as far as your device having a problem with it. It's very reputable. However, you will have to configure your camera. Like, some people turn off some of the security. You know, people got, when those little cameras first came out on their laptops, they would put stickers over them, or they put tape over them. They turn off the microphones. Well, you got to turn all that back on for this to work, right? So that might be some of the problems you find, is that you might have turned some of that stuff off.
I did put a sticker over the little window to the camera. I hadn't noticed that, but yes, I didn't configure anything differently, but
okay.
I'll take that sticker off.
Yeah.
But that's good to know that it's not anything that will give my computer any sickness.
So the one thing you got to be aware of, though, too, so now with everybody using Zoom, there are some creeps out there, utter creeps, who are guessing the meeting IDs and then jumping in an inappropriate way. So, of course, you can imagine, you know, the old days of the guy with the trench coat.
Yeah.
So now just imagine these creeps are jumping into people's Zoom conferences not wearing a trench coat. So that is the only thing I've heard of happening recently with Zoom, where people are really doing that kind of weird stuff because they're guessing the next meeting IDs. There have been some stories of some really, really creepy things going on. So that's the only thing that we've heard lately with all the use of Zoom these days. And we can put a link up here to the story. I'm not making it up. I never do that. But so be aware of that. That'd be something in the book club that, you know, might be more excitement than you need.
Right. But that wouldn't infect our computers or anything.
No, just your eyeballs.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that warning. And
all right, Margaret.
For your program.
Yep. Good luck.
Very safe.
Yep,
bye-bye.
Me too. All right. Moving on to Tom in Middlebury next. Hey, Tom.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's going on, sir?
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine. You know what? I'm a big Mac guy.
Yeah. Like, you like the burger?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I really like the sauce.
There it is. So, yeah, you're a Mac guy.
I'm a big Macintosh guy, but yeah. I listen to your show pretty often because a lot of what you talk about is applicable to Mac as well.
Sure.
Especially when it comes to cable services and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my young lady friend and I decided we were going to cut the cable here in Middlebury.
Nice.
With Comcast, because the bill was approaching $200 a month.
Yep.
And, you know, the same story happens here. We watch 5 channels out of the 300 that they provide.
Right.
And so we cut the cable 2 weeks ago. I put a digital antenna into the window, and I get you know, 2 or 3 of the networks, NBC and CBS and ABC out of New Haven.
Nice.
But my question is now that I've cut the cable, I still have the high-speed internet coming in on the modem.
Right.
If I got rid of the modem and bought my own equipment,
yep,
that would also save me some money every month, correct?
Yes, it will.
And what do you suggest?
Well, basically, you have to go purchase a Comcast-compatible modem, right, Bob?
Yes.
All right. I mean, they're DOCSIS 3, and you just go to your local Staples or Big Box store. They literally have shelves that are separated by the providers.
Okay.
And just buy a modem. And then as far as a router, I put a link up to the router I liked. But you can pick up any router, Wi-Fi device, do some research on how much you want to spend. You can spend $300 on a good router, or you can spend $150. All depends on the size of your home and what you're trying to cover. I was trying to improve some of my Wi-Fi broadcasting outside a little bit. And so I got it through committee pretty easily, actually. You know, if you're spending $200 a month on your services, buying a good router modem once for $200 is kind of a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah, that'll pay for itself.
Yeah, so you can definitely go ahead and get that on your own and set it up and run it that way. And what kind of internet speed do you have from Comcast?
When I do a speed test, I run a speed test once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work in Pro Tools, and I work in a program called Source Connect,
all right,
which allows, I do voice work for radio and television. And
oh, neat.
So you know, commercial stuff. Anyway, so I test about once a week, and I'm trying to think. My upload is like 350 megs.
Wow. That's heavy duty. So you have a really high-speed connection.
Yeah.
All right.
And download is like 12.
Well, that seems opposite. Okay. So you're doing 350 down, 12 up, most likely.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mixed those two up. So
yeah, 350 is more than you need. You could really lower that to like 100 megabit connection, save even more money.
Okay.
Yep.
My concern is when I'm in a Source Connect session with a recording studio somewhere else.
Yeah, good point.
The latency that occurs at slower speeds.
Gotcha. We're going to be going up to a EAS test, but yeah, you could try. You could keep going what you're doing, but I would tell you could reduce it a bit. All right, back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And I'm not sure if Bob is still there. I'm sorry, Tom is still there from Middlebury. Is he still there, Matt? Or did he move on? Probably not. So let's go on to Tom in Florida. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I got a question about radio.com.
Yes, I can do it. I'll help you as best I can. We're not in charge of it.
Oh, all right. Well, I listen to you on a computer here through radio.com.
Yeah.
And a while ago, I started getting these pop-ups, you know, say ads by Google, and which doesn't matter to me because I'm on another page in a computer. I'm just listening.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but then all of a sudden, while I'm listening to you, all of a sudden these pop-up ads start playing with video, and I'm getting both at one time. So, so they're playing an ad while I'm listening to the radio, and this will go on for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and it'll stop for a while and then come back on.
That's annoying.
I ran Malwarebytes a number of times, and it keeps saying everything's all clear. So do you have any idea what's going on with them or what the deal is?
No, I haven't come across that, but I don't use it through a browser. I listen to radio.com through my cell phone, through the app. But you could put on a pop-up blocker, an ad blocker, on your Google Chrome browser to see if that stops the ads from popping. Obviously, radio.com is interested in having your ad being shown, but it shouldn't be showing the way it's been showing. They run ads within the broadcast that you hear, correct?
Well, yeah, you get the regular ads. No, I'm talking about, like, I'm looking at the screen now. There's two squares here. It says, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after a while, they'll start, each screen will have, sometimes two of them are playing at one time where I'm getting, it's a video commercial a long time while you're talking. It has nothing to do with the radio station commercial.
Yeah. So I think there's something else going on there where you might have a toolbar that's built into your browser that's kind of sending ads to you. It may have nothing to do with radio.com because I don't think they would interfere with their own broadcast that way.
Yeah, I would think so.
So what I'm thinking is you do want to probably put a pop-up blocker, an ad blocker on Google Chrome there to stop it, but you probably have some sort of semi-malicious software or tool on your browser that's bringing those ads in.
How do we get rid of that?
Well, the pop-up blocker is the easiest way to do it because without knowing exactly what's causing it, I have no idea how to granularly have you figure that out. But you can put the ad blocker in there. Probably would work. So we can put a link up to an ad blocker for you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, because it's annoying when I'm listening to you and all of a sudden the doggone ad kicks on.
Yep. I would tell you also, do you have a cell phone, a smartphone?
I have a cell phone here, but it's kind of old, and the battery doesn't last very long. That's why I don't do it over the cell phone.
Yep, gotcha. Yeah, you're just battling something going on in your browser. I also have you try a different browser. So right now you're using Chrome?
Yeah, no, I didn't try that yet. I thought of it while I was on hold. But
if you try a different browser, it might have a better result because it might not allow the ads to start popping up automatically on you. But you can run Malwarebytes. Did you say you ran that already?
Yeah, I've ran it a number of times in the last few days and just got done running it again.
All right. Yeah, we're going to put a link to AdBlock Plus on Computer Talk to see if that helps you.
Okay.
But try the other browser too, okay?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Try the other browser as well.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to go over to Bill in Granby next. What's going on, Bill?
Morning, Eric.
Morning.
Hey, Eric, I about 3 months ago, I purchased Malwarebytes for my computers.
Yep.
About a week ago, and it was working. It's worked beautifully.
Good.
About a week ago, I was on my laptop and it told me there was an upgrade or an update. I downloaded it. Ever since then, I can't operate my computer without shutting it off. And I don't. It's annoying. So every time I keep the computer on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get up in the morning and I check the news, I can't Google. Google doesn't work. I mean, I can't go anywhere or do anything on it until I shut malware off and then reboot the computer.
Wow.
I mean, that's the solution that I came up with, but I know that's not right. I don't know where to go with this thing.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Malwarebytes wouldn't cause that type of issue. What do you think, Bob?
Well, it didn't ask me for the upgrade on my other computer.
Well, the upgrade of Malwarebytes or the upgrade of Windows 10? Is Malwarebytes it's updating?
Yeah, Malwarebytes said we had an update, and I downloaded it on this one laptop, and ever since then it doesn't work.
Tell you to uninstall it.
Okay.
Uninstall it and just try it without that running at all for, let's say, a day, so you have a period. And if the problem doesn't occur, reinstall the Malwarebytes. And, yes, they could have had a bad update. I guess it's possible.
A bad download also.
So maybe some sort of corruption in the file. But it is bizarre what you're describing. It may not be related to Malwarebytes, though. Each computer seems the same, but they are different. They are completely different recipes, right? So you can't be sure necessarily until you uninstall Malwarebytes and see if your problem goes away. If it does, then there's something wrong with that install, and then we tell you to reinstall it.
How long have you had the problem?
Oh, we lost him. All I heard is click, click. So
if he's had the problem for, let's say, a week or 2 weeks,
right,
he might be able to go back to a restore point.
Good point. Yeah, get to a past
before the
time.
Problem was a problem.
Exactly. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have a couple lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And if you like us at Tab Computer Systems, the news will get into your news feed if Mr. Zuckerberg deems it worthy. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are broadcasting live from Tab Computer Systems here in East Hartford in our own hermetically sealed studio. And thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning. And I think next Saturday we're going to try our live stream through Facebook, through WTIC's Facebook page. So that might be neat to check out. We'll see how that goes. You'll see why we have faces for radio. I'm just kidding, Bob. I'm sure your wife doesn't think you have a face for radio. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Barbara in Southbury first. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Good to hear you guys again.
Thanks.
Us in touch with tech. I wanted to voice my not surprise but great disappointment that the educational system, which has spent tons of money on setting up connections online,
mm-hmm.
has not succeeded in engaging the staff to be fluent in doing this stuff. You know, they create an account. Maybe they put their syllabus or an assignment up to be read, which you could have handed out in paper to everybody,
right,
or emailed to them. But they've never used it as a teaching tool. And suddenly they're scrambling. You know, they don't know how to do it well. If they had that working, there wouldn't be any big hiccup in these classes. And, in fact, you probably wouldn't need snow days either. Most of the time, you're going to have an Internet connection, even on a snow day.
Yeah, you actually make a good point that things are going to change after this whole COVID thing because of this. I agree. A snow day, the teachers are so happy about snow days. You know, they get to take the day off. The rest of us are working. Now that might change, and you just configure remotely and get online, and teachers got to get the work done. And you don't lose the 180-day issue, right? So it could benefit.
Yeah.
I know a lot of teachers, and just like us here at TAB, we're not prepared to have everybody work remotely at the same time instantly. So it's really hard to be prepared for that, but I got a feeling it's going to change.
They're not prepared for lots of things because they say, like the guy in The Princess Bride, it's inconceivable.
It's what?
It's inconceivable. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Because it's really hard to get them to buy into emergency stuff for fires, for dangerous people on campus, everything else. It's going to happen someplace. It's not going to happen to them. Mm. So even if they show up for any kind of training or think about it, it's just in a file folder someplace in the drawer.
You know, yeah.
That you have to have practice to be, do well at anything.
Right. Bob wants to say something.
Maybe over time they could eliminate the schools entirely and have everybody learn from home.
Mm. Well, I guess I still like people. Despite
yeah.
my disappointment with
I think all of us used to think working from home was a great idea until they spent the entire week in sweatpants. You know, working from home, you know, is not necessarily all that much fun, and you need to get out and integrate with people. And I agree with you, Barbara, that doing school from home always would be awful. But doing it from it with a snow day, of course. So thanks for the call, Barb.
Take a look at the budgets.
Yeah.
How much are they spending on the system, which they're not using?
Yeah, that would be something. I'm thankful my kids are kind of done with that and now are in college. But
No. It's the same problem in college.
Oh, I know it is. Trust me.
Where a lot of my experience is from.
I understand. My kids are at UConn and complaining about the remote learning all the time. So.
Well, I'll let you get on to other more immediate problems.
Thanks, Barb.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, the snow day could be different for teachers going forward. We'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll have to be negotiated. Let's go on to Mark in Yorktown next. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, guys. Enjoy your show very much. Look forward every Saturday to hearing you. Hope you guys are okay.
We're doing good.
Two quickies, if you can help. One is I have a Windows 7 computer. It's a HP, and I can't get a Bluetooth. When I try to attach a Bluetooth, it says no Bluetooth found. So how do I activate Bluetooth on this?
It needs to have it physically. So you have to go check the machine to see if it ever had a Bluetooth radio built in.
And if it doesn't, what do I do then?
Well, then you can buy an external device. Go ahead, Bob.
USB Bluetooth dongle you can get. It may have one built in that's just disabled.
Yeah, well, how do I find out?
Well, that's where you got to break open the manual.
You got to go into the device manager.
You can
device
go that
manager.
There too.
Oh, and if it's not there, because I did go to device manager and it was not there.
Then you probably don't have it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Get a
can
USB
I get it from
dongle.
Microsoft? Can they download the, you know, the
no.
Bluetooth
it's hardware.
Controls?
It's a hardware radio. Bluetooth is a radio, so you need to get the dongle that Bob mentioned.
All right.
So
I'll
you
do
go
that,
to
then.
It's
I'll
a USB.
It's so I can, okay. The other one is on privacy of browsers. I heard that there's a Opera is pretty good. Have you had experience with the Opera browser with the VPN?
Opera browsers is a good browser. It's been around for many, many years as a competitor. I haven't heard about its privacy benefits or not, but it is a good browser.
It has ad blocking built in.
Oh, good. Okay. So it is a good browser. But is that a browser? It's not a U.S. browser. It's an overseas one. Is that right, Opera?
I do think it is. I want to say it's like a Swiss company, but don't hold me to it. Bob's checking right now.
Okay.
But I do. But again, it's you're not dealing with the third world.
Okay. No, I've been using Google and been using Microsoft, but no matter what I do, I still get all these crazy pop-ups. I say don't block pop-ups, and it doesn't block very much.
Yeah, check out AdBlock Plus. We put a link up right now already on Computer Talk. That can greatly reduce your ads.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I hope you guys stay healthy. I look forward to hearing you every Saturday.
You too, Mark. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. If your device doesn't have the hardware built in, you just can't turn it on. Oh, you found where Opera Browser comes from?
Yeah, it's from Norway.
Ah, the Norwegians. Ah, very good. So, definitely a good tool. Let's go on to Fitz in Bloomfield. What's going on, Fitz?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Good. So, I have an HP computer, and I'm trying to download Windows 10, and it downloads. Actually, I purchased it through Microsoft.
Yep.
And I tried to download it, but
when it gets to checking updates, it updated to like 46%, and then it just stopped and just keeps spinning around. And I leave it there for at least 6 hours, and nothing happened.
Oh, boy. Do you know if you have enough space on your computer to load it?
That's one other thing I was thinking about, if I have enough space.
Yeah, is your hard drive a small 128-gigabyte solid-state drive?
I kind of think so. It's kind of an old computer. I think the computer is probably about 10 years old.
Oh, boy. So if you have a very small hard drive, that could be part of your trouble. It also could be that some of your hardware is not fully compatible. Microsoft is notorious for saying, yeah, sure, you can have Windows 10. But then after you start loading it, it's like, oh, well, I can't. This doesn't work, and that driver doesn't work, and then you're kind of stuck. It sounds like you're kind of stuck here with Windows 10 not able to continue after a certain percentage. I would tell you to check your drive space. What's the top, off the top of your head, how much drive space do you know, Bob, do you need?
Windows 10?
Yeah. You don't know off the top of your head?
No.
It's okay. You didn't think there would be a test. You probably need, you're not saying a whole lot of space.
Oh.
16 gigs free?
About 16 gigs?
Yeah, do you think you have 16 gigs?
Free.
Free, yeah.
Okay, so I need up at least 15 gigs. Okay, yeah. I'll check that when I go home, see how much I have.
It might be something like that. And be careful. Also, Windows 10 on a 10-year-old machine is not going to run real good for it. Within our client base, we warn them not to do it on anything older than 5 years. Because, again, even if you update it, you could find your video driver doesn't work, your sound driver doesn't work, the motherboard, because they didn't write it to go that far back.
So okay.
They're recommending a minimum of a 32-gig hard drive just to install it.
32-gig free.
No, 32-gig hard drive or larger.
Yeah, which is tiny.
So you really want probably, I'd say, at least a 250 or better.
Yeah.
Okay. I might be looking at getting a new computer then.
Yeah, it might be the case. If you could get your money back for that download, that'd be the best, and just get a new machine, because 10-year-old machine has served you well. If you get 6 years out of a computer, you've done well.
Yes, it has. Any brand you recommend?
If you want to buy something for yourself, our HP has been something we've recommended. We've had very good luck on the business side of HP systems for laptops.
Okay, I'm talking about a desktop.
I know. So that's where I would have you angle to the HP as well.
HP as well. Okay.
All right,
guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Our pleasure. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll step out for a quick break here, and so stick around. I see I'm guessing here. I'm hoping I'm right. Barbara, hang on. Is there Andrew and John? Probably have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock, so we'll do our best to get all your calls in if we can. Let's go right to them. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Barbara in Newington first. What's going on, Barbara?
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I just have really two quick questions. I know I'm looking for antivirus software. I usually use Norton, but I noticed you once said another one.
Yeah, you like Webroot.
Webroot, okay.
Webroot. And it's a lower payload on your computer. It's a process-based antivirus rather than a definition-based antivirus.
Oh, all right. And I noticed you said internet. I never knew you could get internet without having to go to like a company like Cox or Comcast. You said something about a DOCSIS 3. What was that?
So you need a DOCSIS 3-capable modem. And you do have to pay for Cox or Comcast internet service, but you don't have to rent their modems.
Oh.
So they'll save you money, $10 or $11, $14 a month. That's part of your internet service, plus tax, of course.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay, because I was, they're so outrageous,
mm-hmm. I know. So feel free to save some money by putting in your own modem, your own firewall, and just buying internet from them.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
putting their name on those stadiums that nobody's using right now costs a lot of money.
It really does.
So they got to charge you for those modems.
Yeah, let's go on to Andrew in Glastonbury next. Hey, Andrew. Andrew, you there?
Hello?
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm in a position where we have to upgrade our bandwidth, and right now our bandwidth from our local telephone company is only 12 megabits per second. So
wow.
I already have started negotiating with both of the only two ISP providers in my area, which is our area telephone company and their competitor, the cable company.
Mm-hmm.
So based on your own personal and long business experience, which of the two ISPs has the better service in terms of customer satisfaction?
Hmm. Internet companies don't have a lot of high customer satisfaction per se anyways. But what kind of bandwidth do you need? This is for business use, right, Andrew?
No, personal household.
Okay.
Since we have been hobbling along with 12 megabits per second for the last 5 years, I think we would be happy with like 30 or 45. Mm-hmm. Right now, the telephone company is offering us 45 megabits at $2.56 per megabyte.
Okay.
And the cable company is offering us a deal for 30 megabits, which comes around to $1.77 per megabyte.
Okay.
But in terms of customer satisfaction to you, in your own personal and business experience, which one do you find that offers the better service?
I don't think they're comparable, frankly. Most companies, broadband companies, they're only two people. They're only two companies in the area. They don't really have to worry about customer service that much.
Well, I think there's three levels of service: bad, worse, and worser.
Yeah. So I would just say either you deal with the devil you know, and if their price is right, deal with the devil you know. Going to somebody else, I would never tell you you're going to get a better service experience. The only reason you'll get a better service experience in the future is if more competitors are allowed to come in. Then all of a sudden they have to serve you better. Right now they really don't.
So have you tried going to gonetspeed.com?
I went on their website, and they're not in Glastonbury yet.
Okay.
They seem to be in Newington, Wethersfield, Hartford, West Hartford, but not in Glastonbury.
They're coming.
They're
just tell them
close.
You're interested.
Yeah, if you sign up, the more people they get signed up, they could bring it to your area if there's enough interest.
Oh, yeah, we did sign up.
Okay.
But in terms of technology, I mean, Frontier's technology is a lot different than Cox's technology.
Right.
And so which technology is, like, superior, or are they equal?
If your bandwidth is the same, based on what you're talking about, 30 and 40 megabits, it doesn't really matter. As far as superior, I would tell you the cable is probably more superior than what they're doing with DSL. But again, GoNetSpeed is fiber, and that's the most superior.
Right, right.
So,
I have another quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, how does the ISP increase their client bandwidth at the modem or demarcation point or where?
I think it's all through the system. So the further you are away from their central switching, or a switch in your neighborhood, the poorer your service will be. So if both companies are able to get you about 30 megabits to 40 megabits for, is it just a couple of you guys in the home? Is it just two of you guys in the home?
No, there's four, two college students, my wife
okay.
and I.
So 50 megabits is probably more where you want to be, 50 to 60 megabits, because when those college kids are on doing their streaming while you're trying to do your thing, 30 megabits may not be enough. We're happy at my home with three college kids
right.
every now and again coming back,
right.
and that's at 65 megabits, plenty of speed. So at least with cable, you can go beyond. DSL is probably going to max out at what they're offering you.
Right.
So if you want to be more future-proof to get additional bandwidth, should you need it, cable would be the better way to go for you now, if that makes
cable.
Sense.
Cable?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But all you need is internet. Then you can stream the rest of it. You just need their internet service. You don't need their modem. You can buy your own router.
Right.
And that's all you're going to do is pay the monthly internet service. And believe it or not, there's no tax.
Right.
It's the one thing our governor and our legislature can't get a hold of.
But technically, when I called my ISP and we settle on a certain bandwidth, where do they actually increase the bandwidth?
At their office, they'll increase the bandwidth.
At their company?
Yeah, if it's if they're capable of it, depending on what you're paying for now, what you want to increase it to.
Right. I was just curious because I opened up the box outside the house there, what they call a demarcation point.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they do it there.
No, they don't. Your demarcation point is capable of a lot more bandwidth. They just have to give it to you.
Right.
But again, you don't need it. Be careful. You only need what you need. Don't buy more than you need.
Exactly.
Okay, Andrew?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Matt back in the studio in Farmington for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live for us over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And again, especially you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I know you got nothing else to do. Technically, it's true. You really don't have anything else to do. But we're glad that you did think about us here at WTIC. And stick around all day. You get a lot of great information here for all the other shows that are going to be coming on. I don't know what the new schedule is exactly, but I think Joe D is going to be coming on and possibly Will. I have no maybe Todd. I don't know. But stick around here at WTIC for all the information you need on this crazy crisis that we're dealing with.
See you next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.